You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
As always on a Monday, we speak to David Shapiro. So it's time for Shapiro World, a Shapiro World special from Manhattan, New York, of course. And this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Did you go running in the park this morning? I know it's quite early
I did. In fact, the beautiful thing is that you can get up at, 5 o'clock in the morning or run six. It's warm. It's lovely. Mm. And the park is special at the moment because it's all green. And there's one tree that emits an incredible fresh smell. So I think running in Central Park at this time of the year is special. Yeah, the only problem is, Lindsay, I'm running slower and slower. So I get to smell the flowers a lot.
Exactly. If you're going to run slowly anywhere at Central Park, I remember I did a documentary for CNBC Africa there, and I got some statistics about Central Park because I did quite a bit of filming there. The amount of trees there are there and the size of the Central Park space is one of the great urban greeneries in the world.
No, it is. People misunderstand it because it's nothing like Hyde Park. Hyde Park is pretty flat and uneventful. Here, there are forests and places here that and gardens that are quite phenomenal. And, the undulations and lakes and rivers and little, especially on the side that the tourists avoid, which would be near Harlem. I'm trying to get my perspective.
Northeast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Northeast.
Northeast side, yeah. And even the northwest side in that. There's some lovely, lovely areas there. And the old Harlem Lake. And there's a conservatory garden there, which is like an old Italian garden. Absolutely beautiful in that. But it's too far north for tourists to venture to. So it becomes pretty much a New York, not resting place. What would I call just area where people
sanctuary.
Seek peace and that sanctuary. That's it, sanctuary. Mm. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, very very nice. David, have you been keeping in touch? I know you're one of those people that can't stay out of touch. But have you been keeping in touch with business since you've been there?
I have, and I've been looking at markets. I arrived here on Friday, and Friday was a special day for me as well because my son-in-law listed on NASDAQ. Now, I'd always imagined NASDAQ to be a market, but there wasn't enough place for grandparents, parents-in-law. Mm. So we had to sit outside, but I was standing in Times Square. It was raining like anything, and we had to watch the listing from the outside. And, my son-in-law is the CFO of a company called Prevail Therapeutics, which is gene therapy. It's a biotech company, gene therapy for Parkinson's.
Yes.
What was special about it is that, and this is the point, I'm not bringing up the listing itself, but rather it was just one of a number of companies that were listing, Lindsay.
Yes.
And that struck me. And, with us, a listing is a big affair. And when I say us, I'm talking Joburg. And yet, it was just one of, I don't know how many others were coming on or being listed on NASDAQ that day. And it begins to raise the whole issue of just how much energy and how much technology and how much change is taking place. There's still an appetite for all these kind of businesses. You can raise the money. Of course, probably that's a function of low interest rates as well, and also, looking for blockbusters or blockbuster companies. But, that's something that we can't remember. That's just so far away from the JSE or from other markets. Just this, and also I think it also just gives you an idea where people are so worried about whether the Fed's going to raise rates or they're going to lower rates. Trump wars and that. Despite that, technological advancements just keep going and going and going. And as long as they can raise the money and they've still got these backers, you're going to find this phenomena continuing. That's what struck me standing out there. I'm saying, hey, nothing's stopping this.
It's almost as though these technology companies, like the FANG stocks, are they've got defensive qualities as well as growth qualities, because they don't seem to care whether there's a 0.5% interest rate difference this year to last year. They just keep on going because we consume, we carry on consuming. And if you have a look today at the JSE, one of the things that came out this morning, 10:07 South African time while you were asleep, the JSE Limited trading statement for the 6 months ended June.
I saw that.
25 to 35% down in headline earnings per share, I think it was. The share price, as we pre-record, down 9%. It's extraordinary.
Yes, not unexpected. Lindsay, I monitor it every day. You know, every day when I prepare for radio and I prepare for whatever I'm doing, I always have a look at volumes. And this started when SA Breweries delisted.
Right.
From the time that SA Breweries delisted, we started to see interest in the JSE beginning to fall and volumes going down. Now for us, an average day is about 16 billion. In fact, the numbers are highly distorted by by NASPERS, which accounts for 20 to 25% of daily volumes. Huge amounts go through in the closing auctions, which also distort the numbers. So when you get rid of the I still can't put my finger on who does these trades in the last few minutes, whether they're squaring trades, whether they're ETFs, balancing. I don't know, and nor can the stock exchange explain to me. But when I get rid of all that and I look at the actual trade taking place on the JSE, it's not sufficient to support the industry. It's not sufficient to support my business, and I'm talking South African business. It's not sufficient to support all those institutions that are pursuing investment, whether it's an Investec, a Coronation, an Old Mutual, a Sunlight. It's the JSE is shrinking. You know, it continues to shrink, and it will shrink with the economy. I know I'm sounding off, but I think people haven't woken up to the fact that, you know, we're in a very, very low growth economy, and that without growth, you can't drive a JSE, you can't drive a market.
It's
a shocking result.
Yeah, it really is bad. And hopefully they can consolidate, they can cut costs, and hopefully we will get a listing occasionally here and there. But as you say, I mean, there's a population of, 60 million in South Africa versus how many million in the United States? Let's call it close to 300 million.
So
we're 20% of the population, but we are one of the biggest economies in Africa. And after the 3.2% GDP fall, we're below Egypt and Nigeria. But there's nothing coming to market. There's nothing fresh.
They're more unemployed in South Africa than they are unemployed in the US. Mm. I mean, talking in actual numbers. If you look at 3.5% of 3 million is 9 million odd people. 30% of 16 is 18 million people. I'm just quickly. So there are twice as many unemployed in South Africa as there are in the US.
Mm.
And that's the difference. People have got jobs. I must say the one thing about summer in New York, it starts to attract a lot of, I wouldn't say vagrants in large numbers, nothing compared with South Africa. But running this morning, I did see three or four people sleeping on benches, and I like, obviously, people, homeless people there, which you don't normally see in the winter. But so I suppose summer and tourism attracts the beggar types, people looking for jobs or trying to look for some money on that, but are homeless.
Yes. Talking about NASPERS, which you did because you talked about it skewing the performance of the JSE Securities Exchange, there's a very good article today in the Daily Mavericks Business Maverick offering, which is headed up by ex-Business Day editor Tim Cohen. And
Tim
it goes
Cohen,
on.
Yeah.
He says, NASPERS is now SA's largest company, and not just by a little bit. NASPERS is now the same size from a market cap perspective to Anglo American, Standard Bank, Sasol, MTN and Vodacom combined. All of those combined equals one NASPERS. And it goes on to explain what it's, as he calls it, existential crisis is and how difficult it is to analyze. Their results came out on Friday. I didn't understand it, but they are now probably the world's biggest classifieds company, which is astonishing.
You can't take anything away from him. I mean, it's a highly successful business. I don't know about the classified business. I haven't looked into it. I still think that the price is being determined more by Tencent rather than by those businesses. But I think the hope is that with the listing in Amsterdam, that the independents will be there or be able to raise money to try and build up these businesses and try and isolate themselves or unhitch themselves from Tencent. But I mean, as things are, most of the cash flow that they do receive, and it's not cash flow because it's, or the earnings that they consolidate are still coming from largely from Tencent. You know, I don't think the classified business is making money. If it is, I'm not sure. I don't, you know, I'm not sure whether it does contribute anything positively, but it might be the world's largest. But it's something they can build on.
The article says the following: it urgently needs, that's Naspers, needs to move out of the shadow of Tencent. Interestingly, the Naspers investor pack includes a graph which purports to show the company is now growing faster than its Chinese partner. That's what the investor pack says. And then it says, take one example. Naspers now has the largest classifieds business in the world. In the world, which is an astonishing statistic, and I think a feather in Koos Becker and his team's hat, Bob Van Dyke.
That would be Bob Van Dyke. That would probably be Bob who's kind of moving that forward. I've got to look at that one as well. I'm not ready to comment on that. I'm just looking at the market value of Naspers in terms, just to go what Tim's saying. It's 1.5 trillion rand, and that's bigger than British American Tobacco, which has come down understandably. And BHP, Glencore. BHP is distorted because it's still split up into two businesses, so we only list half of it. Glencore, Anglo American, which would be our first company, comes in about 500, just under 600 billion. So he's right what he says. You know, Naspers is a huge business. We're still significantly under AB InBev, which is the largest listed business on the JSE, which comes in at 2.6 trillion.
Yes.
But, you know, you see the sad thing is that with all of this, you know, even with all these large businesses, when we get to JSE Inc., to those businesses that we hope are going to contribute to the volumes and values of the JSE, we're coming down to very, very small businesses, which are totally overshadowed in the indices by these big businesses. So what am I getting at, Lindsay, is that we're gone into a passive world. We go into a passive world where, you know, this is where I say I hate Jack Bogle or Boggle, whatever you want to say. He killed the market. Mm. And, you know, everybody triumphs him because he's made investment very, very cheap to invest in. But from my point of view, what do we buy? We buy ETFs, which are tracker funds. So we buy a Satrix 40 or we buy whatever tracker fund there is that tracks the index.
Right.
Because nobody wants to be under the index. So the only way you can go with the index is to buy the index. You know, you never underperform, you never outperform. No one can ever criticize you. You're in line. But what's in the index? Naspers, 25%. You know, BHP, British American Tobacco, you name them, Richemont, all of these are non-South African businesses. So what are we doing when all these financial planners go out, they go and buy the so-called tracker funds, or they go buy passive ETFs, all of which have these large businesses in, leaving very little way for to invest in anything below that. And you dare not go and venture into some of the smaller businesses just in case you underperform this. Because why? Every quarter you're forced to come back to your pension fund or your clients and report.
Yeah.
And should you miss the index or should be under or over, of course, people are so fickle, they drop you like anything. So we perpetuate the move towards these larger businesses by becoming passive.
There's a company that derives 76% of its business from South Africa. It's called Invicta. They came out with their results today. Yeah. I'm just going to read you the overview of the year, just the first paragraph, David, if I may. This has been one of the toughest years on record for the group. Mm. Almost every sector, it goes on to say, served by the group in South Africa, from which the group derives 76% of its revenue, has been under severe economic pressure. The generally poor economic conditions in South Africa and months of uncertainty leading up to the general election in May 2019 contributed to a general decline in demand for products across our product range. It says it all, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah. One thing about Invicta, they've always been forthcoming in their commentary. You know, they've never held back, and they've always been truthful about how things are. They're in engineering, manufacturing, to an extent in mining. I think they're mainly equipment. By equipment, I mean engineering type products that are used in developing a country. Yes. And they tell you how it is. And it raises another issue, which I find quite astonishing. You know, these are the areas of the economy that we need to focus on. We need to build up the growth side of the economy. And yet, what makes the headlines that somebody's building another insurance company or we're building another bank and everybody gets excited because Discovery are coming with a bank, Time are coming with a bank. What's the RMI or RM? I don't know. What's ARC? Sorry.
Yes.
Is building another insurance company. Why do we need all of these?
You know
what I'm saying? And it's the last thing on earth we need are those kind of businesses. And nor do those businesses, are they going to serve anything if there's the underlying economy? And I think what Invicta shows you is where the real economy is and how difficult things are.
The proliferation of financial services offerings is very similar to the shopping mall complex, which I call it. One gets knocked down because it's not fashionable anymore, and another one goes up, or one goes up near another one, and it's the cannibalization of the shopping public. There's not new shoppers being created, that's for sure.
No.
It's the same with financial services.
And retail is also a function of the service industry. If people are earning money, they'll go out and spend. But I think also going back to the State of the Nation address, you know, if you listen to Ramaphosa and we're all waiting for some kind of solution. We're all waiting for a plan. I know there's a national development plan and so on, but we're all waiting for some kind of guidance or some kind of path that is going to take us out of the misery that we're in. It's going to take Invicta out of its position. And we're not seeing that. Nobody really wants to do the hard work. You know, and no one wants to get down and actually, we all want to go on road shows and we all want to raise capital, but no one actually wants to clean up the economy and wants to actually do the dirty work that's going to get us going again. And a plan that's going to help that. Lindsay, you know what happens to me all the time?
Yes.
Non-stop. People that have worked for me, you know, young people that have worked for me. Because of a change in my life, I've moved out of a house, you know, I've gone into a smaller apartment and my life has changed to an extent in there. And the difficulties that these people, you know, are finding, or the children of these people are finding jobs, and their appeals come, you know, I'm desperate. Please help me find a job. Can you assist me? Is there anybody? And to me, I think that's the saddest thing. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, there's literally nothing I can do other than advance, you know, a couple of hundred or thousand rand just to help them get through on a short term. And it's not even that. It's insufficient. But it gives you an idea of really what's happening and what's happening down at the ground, the number of people that are in desperate situations. And this is not ideology. This is not going to be helped by Malema. Carrying on the way that he is. It's literally we've got to rebuild the economy, and we've got to rebuild it in a way, you know, start from scratch. Forget about minimum wages, forget about all this ideology. We've got to get back to us, you know, we've got to just get back to everybody having some kind of a job and at whatever wage, just to get them moving and to get them working. And you know, it's a frustration. I haven't got the answers, but I haven't got the full answers. But whatever we're doing at the moment is not working. You know, I think we refer to a week or two ago, I showed you the JSE back in 1968, where we had so many businesses that were operational, textile businesses, furniture manufacturers and that. Those are not impossible. You know, those are not impossible. It's just a matter of attitude. To bring back that kind of manufacturing, you've got to do it in a competitive way. I know it's far-fetched. But it's much more feasible than starting another insurance company or a financial services business. You've got to get back to to those kind of businesses where you actually employ people. I know we're a low-skilled business and that, but we've got to become the Vietnam. We've got to become something like that of Africa. But Lindsay, I know when I look at you, you become
very reflective and very sober about South Africa when you go to New York and when you see the vibrancy of a city that isn't representative of the United States of America. But I mean, it does sort of embody U.S. values and attitudes towards business and life, I think.
It is, you know, it's also, I've been, when you say reflective, I've been very cautious of South Africa for at least the last 10 years as I've seen it move down. And it's worried me, you know, the stock exchange, for example, when you see the stock exchange's numbers, that's a warning light, you know, it's a massive warning light. And one of the problems is that we've all got plans, you know. So many businesses have got plans, and nobody wants to be realistic about who we are or what businesses are. We all give the PR blurbs. You know, we all tell us what our PR agencies tell us to say. You know, everyone's optimistic. We've all got hope. We've all got prayer in there. But nobody wants to actually face the facts. And we're in trouble. We're in desperate trouble. And when you're in desperate trouble, you've got to take desperate measures. And I don't think that, you know, there's nothing that Ramaphosa says or I see in there that is going to help me regain confidence. Forget about the rand. The rand is a toy. You know, it's a trading toy that moves with gold. It moves with other currencies and so on. It's just a toy for people to make money with. It's not really a reflection of the economy. Do you know what I mean? It's not... you know, you can't really say, "Oh, it's improving." That's because people like South Africa. No, it's a
trading tool for emerging market investors. Exactly right.
Exactly.
Although there are inflows and outflows. Yeah, I understand. Okay, let's move on to football now, because I have to say, David, that I watched two Women's World Cup matches yesterday. I watched England versus Cameroon, which had everything. Really good football, violence, quite a boisterous crowd. The Cameroons were dirty. The Cameroonians were so dirty. But it was just a really good game. But the really good quality game from a footballing perspective was France versus Brazil. And that was a really big crowd singing and shouting and carrying on. And the quality of football, I have to say, was better than a lot of games I've seen in the English first or second divisions, maybe even a couple of Premiership games. It was terrific stuff.
I missed it. Unfortunately, I can't pick up sport for the package that I have here. I missed the cricket, I've missed the soccer. So I've had to follow everything on the internet without watching it.
Yes,
but I'm surprised at the lack of interest here. In cricket, you don't talk. I even went into an Indian stationery show yesterday, and there were two chaps there, and I said, South Africa at that stage were losing to Pakistan. I could see it was going to be lost, and they showed no interest. And I asked, I said, how can an Indian not be interested in cricket?
Quite so. You know?
I said, have you seen that? He says, well, we're Indians. I said, but have you seen the Indian team in that? It had no interest at all. I was deeply distressed.
There's
the underwear department in Bloomingdale's, there's a couple of Indian chaps who love men's underwear. Whenever I buy socks and underpants there, we always have long chats about cricket. They love their cricket. They're about the only Indians in
I really don't want to talk about you and your underwear buying patterns. Thank you very much, David. But what you might be able to watch tonight somewhere is USA versus Spain at the Women's World Cup, because that's the big game tonight. That's going to be huge. Surely somewhere will you go down to your local Irish pub or something. It must be on there.
No, I will. In fact, it is in the pubs and that. I'll watch that one.
Okay.
But I must say, I've got to say, we said it last week, I think. I think women's soccer has become very entertaining, and I'm absolutely thrilled at the crowds, you know, the crowds. And here, when you see women's soccer here, it's phenomenal. You know, all the kids play it. It's really is, you know, it's really a massive, massive sport here. And it's, I love that. I love to watch the grounds here, whatever empty spaces here taken up by kids playing soccer. My grandson plays in his team here, and his team, I'm talking the whole of US, is ranked in the top 50 young teams. He's 11 going on 12.
Very good.
He's ranked in the top 50 in the whole of America, you know, the whole of the U.S., not just Manhattan. I think within the area here, they're certainly within the top 10 teams within the Manhattan area, even higher than that. I think they came runners-up in their league. So, but they train. Lindsay, they train four times a week. He's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And not when I say train, it's not you know, it's not a half an hour. They go for a good hour and a half training. You know, and this is after school. And it's not during school. So it shows you the different attitudes. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, South African sport. We don't even need to talk about South African sport. Mm-hmm. The Proteas were disastrous in the World Cup. They've just been knocked out. But anyway, we'll leave it there, David. Thank you very much for your extended time. That's David Shapiro from Sasswin talking to us from Manhattan. And that was a Shapiro World Special. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.